Kia ora whānau. Would you stand as we read Acts 3? One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.' Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways."
Thank you, Grace. Morning, family. Morena e te whānau. What a good morning so far. I was going to say it's hard to put words to the week that has just been, but actually Wayne has done such a great job of actually praying into that. So much happening, and thank you, Judy, for also sharing as well. The loss of John is a huge impact for everyone in the community, but also the celebration of his faith and the legacy. The magnitude of that legacy, I became even more aware of it this week. As we journeyed together in remembrance. Then the baptism service last, who was there on Sunday night? What a celebration, five people. There's actually a hidden spa pool under here, if you didn't know. Five people ended up at that pool getting baptized, declaring that Jesus Christ is their Lord, but they all walked different paths to get there. Praise the Lord. And I can very excitingly say that for the Mathewson family, TBC is now our home. Praise the Lord. And so this week has had so many components, and then I know each of us have walked different paths through this week, and we gather here today after, you know, a lot of other things going on. So let's just acknowledge that we're here together, that the Lord is with us, that we can be encouraged, even if we've walked a different journey to get here. Together we share the same faith, and there is so much to be gained from that. We continue through Acts. You Will Be My Witnesses is the series. We're in Acts chapter 3, and this is an amazing chapter to actually gain insight into what does it mean to be a witness to Jesus Christ and to actually also self-reflect on our own journey of faith and maybe what God is actually leading or calling us personally into at this time. So let's jump straight into that. This is after Pentecost. We don't actually know how long after Pentecost. It could have been 1 day, 2 days, 1 week. And Peter and John went to pray. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. You know, I actually imagine that moving around in twos like that, Peter and John was incredibly familiar for them, because that's exactly how Jesus had trained them and prepared them. You may recall that he actually sent them out in twos. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. So this happened on repeat. He actually sent the 72 other disciples out two by two. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. You'll know this one, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send the workers out. And Jesus also, in this whole time of preparation and training for Peter and John, he actually prepared them and affirmed that his presence and his authority would always be with them where two or three gathered in his name. You'll be familiar with this, some of you. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with you. It is so cool seeing how Jesus trained and prepared them. And then we see that as the kingdom work begins by his Spirit, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. They are walking in his ways. They are walking in his authority to be his witnesses. And surely this is a direction for all of us, that we go through a period of being trained and prepared, and then after that we are released and empowered to walk in his ways, to walk in his authority, to outwork his works amongst us, and to then do that together, to partner with the people that God brings into our life. There is a strength and wisdom in partnership and co-laboring that was there from the beginning in terms of how Jesus sent them out and even how Peter and John went. Together they go. There is a load sharing that occurs. There is an authority in the kingdom when we are together. There is a discernment and a sharing of gifts that occurs when we go together. Amen. What is the kingdom work that God has been preparing you for? What is the kingdom work that he wants you to do now, or the work that he wants you to keep doing? Who has he partnered you with for the work that he's calling you into? So I ask questions like this. Sometimes you may not immediately have an answer to that. And the purpose of questions sometimes is to provoke self-reflection and go, actually, I don't know the answer to that question. And then what do you do when you don't know the answer to a question? You kind of go, for me, I'm like, Lord, I don't know. Am I in a time of preparation? Have you brought people into my life to partner with? What's going on? So when you don't know the answer to a question, it provokes, who do you go to? Lord, lead me. Talk to me about these things. I want to know more. So as we journey through this chapter, we see and learn a lot about what witnessing actually is, because this is kind of the second time that Peter is witnessing since Pentecost. Pentecost was the first. So as they go to pray, they don't even make it into the temple. They're at the gates and they meet someone. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. Who knows the song? I'm sure some of you do. That we can sing it instead of maybe reading it. So Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms. He held out his palms. And Peter and John did say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. He went, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's stuck with me. The power of music and lyrics to actually pass on the truth, that's in itself. Who has songs that have stuck with them just over the years? Yeah? Yeah, there is power in bringing truth and music together, isn't there? And so that's exactly what happened. And there's so much to notice here. So last week, Peter and John were speaking in different languages after the Holy Spirit came upon them. This week, we have another demonstration of God's power, a miraculous healing, a healing that transforms the life of this man who was lame since birth, and that he is now walking and leaping and praising God. And what is remarkable, apart from the healing, is Peter's confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? His confidence and boldness. How does Peter have such confidence and conviction to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk? Where does that boldness come from? And then Peter reaches out his hand and then gives him a hand to lift him into that. It's like almost another step of faith. He's saying, look, come on, step into what Jesus has for you. And if we look back at the Gospels, we see that Jesus trained and prepared Peter to understand his power. This was actually not the first encounter with God's power. When he sent them out in twos, as we reflected before, he also gave them authority over impure spirits, and they went out and drove out demons and healed the sick. So in this time of preparation, he was being prepared to understand God's power. And what happened last week at Pentecost? We heard about the power that then was poured out upon the believers. It was like a wind in their sails, moving them from a time of waiting into a time of doing the work that Jesus had been preparing them for. So if we go back to that question, why was Peter so bold? Peter had confidence because Jesus had prepared him and trained him to understand his power. Peter had confidence because Jesus had then empowered him, filled him with the Holy Spirit. And so he was now walking in that power. I don't know what you notice when you see it, but I also find it helpful to see how Jesus sent Peter and John into that moment. They were not sent out with resources. Rather, they were sent with power. He does not have silver and gold to give at that point, and maybe that was actually purposeful. Quite likely it was. It removed the temptation of just giving the gift of money. Rather, it creates a self-reflection. Well, I haven't got money to give. What can I give? And in that moment, they gift this healing. And so sometimes God purposely does not send us with material resources so that we can actually focus on the work that he actually does have for us, so that we are seeking him in all of those moments to do the work that he has for us, the kingdom work that he needs us to do. And again, this was not unfamiliar for Peter and John. He'd been preparing them for this moment. They went in twos. What happened when he last sent them out in twos? Calling the 12, he began to send them out two by two, gave them authority, and these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money. So going in there with nothing, aware that they've been sent in his name and God can still work in those moments. So preparation comes before power, and God had prepared Peter and John. And I think it's fair to say that we should have the same expectation that God prepares us in advance so that when his power comes and when he works, we are ready to declare what God is doing in those moments, that we too can be bold, that we too can have courage because we have been made ready by the Lord. Again, asking some questions to think about your own journey. Are you in a time of preparation where he's teaching you his truths, his wisdoms, his ways, how he does things? Have you been empowered to do his work? Have you experienced the wind of the Holy Spirit in your sails? He's been moving you forward. Maybe his power, his ways, his wisdoms are already familiar and part of your daily life. Do you already have stories, personal stories of how he has moved mountains, stilled storms, set people free? So what comes out of all this? Clearly we have a man praising and dancing and jumping around. There is a healing that is amazing. And he went into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running. The man is healed after being lame, we learn in the next chapter, for 40 years. He starts celebrating and praising God. He is immediately giving credit to God for what has just happened. He's physically transformed, but he is honoring the Lord. And the impact of this healing has only just begun. Yes, this man is healed. Yes, this man is praising God. But immediately the knowledge of this miracle spread. Other people saw the man praising God. People recognized him as the man who had been begging at the gate, and they are overwhelmed with wonder. And we see again, once again, the impact of God's signs, wonders, and miracles have multiple purposes. It is absolutely about the healing of the man and his praise for the Lord, but it is also now about the crowd that gathers. Suddenly there's a crowd. And as we'll soon discover, it is all about where this signpost is pointing. This signpost, this miracle, is clearly pointing towards and revealing the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders will often draw a crowd. People will come running because of a miracle. It is therefore possible to start chasing after signs and wonders instead of chasing after Jesus Christ. If we chase after signs and wonders, we then start making an idol out of God's work rather than chasing after the source, Jesus Christ, and letting him then do the work through us. Does that make sense? Here is a scripture around how Jesus prepared them again before all of these moments. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name." And it gives a whole range of different signs. "In the name, they will drive out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." Don't chase after miracles. Chase after Jesus Christ. Do what he says. Then miracles will follow. Does that make sense? We chase after Jesus. When he does a work, that will be an outcome of our faithfulness and obedience. We don't have to chase after these things. But what is so wonderful about this healing of the lame man, that Peter is very, very aware of the risk of people chasing after signs and wonders, and actually also the risk of them now chasing after him. He is aware of this. Look what he says. "When Peter saw this, he said, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" You see, Peter immediately makes sure that God gets the credit and the glory for what has happened. That is a wisdom that we have to hold on to. "Why does this surprise you? As if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk." He immediately honors the Lord because it was Jesus who did this, not Peter. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." I've jumped to the end of it there. "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him." He resists the attention and admiration and directs people to Jesus. Can you imagine this whole crowd is just like, "Man, this is amazing, this is awesome." The temptation there is to receive that praise and to take credit for what God has actually done in that moment. Rather, he immediately says it was Jesus who did this, not me. He starts by witnessing to the work that Jesus is doing amongst them, healing the lame man. For witnessing is not just about witnessing to the historic work of Jesus Christ. It is that. Amen. What Jesus has done for us, the magnitude of that has rippled through every generation. But it is also about witnessing to the work that Jesus is doing amongst us. Now, Jesus is doing this. Look what he's doing. Look how he brought people to that baptism pool. You know, we're witnessing to the fact that Jesus is still at work amongst us. Witnessing is both to the historic work that Jesus has done and the ongoing work amongst us. And then Peter goes on to proclaim and explain who Jesus is. And what I find so interesting is this, is Peter actually uses different words this time to share the good news about Jesus to what he did at Pentecost. At Pentecost, you may recall, he is quoting the prophets Joel and Psalms, and then he proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ and Jesus was Lord. He didn't use the same words this time as he starts to explain who Jesus was to this group of people. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." And he then refers to Jesus as both the Christ, and this time he says the author of life. "You killed the author of life but God raised him from the dead. Isn't it cool? I mean, that's a powerful statement. Talk about the proclamation of Jesus' divinity. You killed the author of life. But what is standing out to me when I'm seeing how Peter is now engaging with this group of people is the destination is the same. Faith in Jesus Christ is always the same. But how you help someone to seize this differs. It changes. There's not one single way to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, it is important that it is different and relevant for the people that we're talking to. Does that make sense? We should always be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit is leading us in a conversation or leading us with a group when we're talking about Jesus. Same Jesus. Nothing changes there. But there are different obstacles that each person or people need to overcome. Different information needed for each person or people. And we must remember the lesson that Peter so wonderfully demonstrates, that when God uses us and people are blessed, there is a risk that they praise us rather than the God, they come running. Like Peter, we must always acknowledge and redirect back to Jesus as the source. When he uses us in our gifts, wherever that is, through our week, through our workplaces, it is the Lord working through us, and he must always get the credit. We have to resist the temptation to take credit for the work that God is doing through our lives. God has done it. We won't steal his glory. It is him alone that we honor and worship. So Peter continues to talk. He's now got a crowd. He's actually explaining them to them who Jesus Christ is. They have killed the author of life. And then he explains what they should do. Now, this will be so familiar to you, but again, just how this actually pops out, I find fascinating. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. What should they do? Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent of the sin of denying Jesus. Acknowledge that he is the Christ. Turn to him and receive forgiveness for your sin. You know, this is the same thing that Jesus said at Pentecost. There's very, very similar words at that point. What did he say then? When they actually asked, they said, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this time, Peter didn't wait for a question. He just straight away told them what to do. And again, this stands out to me. When sharing the good news of Jesus, sometimes you need to wait for a question, and sometimes you just need to speak it out. Again, it depends on the situation. There is a sensitivity to who are you talking to, what is going on. Sometimes you're engaging in a conversation. Sometimes you just put it straight out there. The Lord will lead you in each of those moments. Does that make sense? Everybody is on a different journey. The Lord knows the heart that is in front of us. Therefore, as he leads us, we can trust that he'll lead the overflow of our words that person needs to hear and how they need to hear it. And then Peter continues to talk. He's still got a crowd. They haven't ran away. He's making the most of this moment. Peter is then very, very bold. And I don't know if you picked up on this. His words declaring that anyone who does not listen to Jesus will be completely cut off from their people. Okay, we didn't have that kind of quite bluntness at Pentecost, but here, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant of God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So Peter explains that to receive the blessing of Abraham, they needed to listen to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. To deny Jesus as the Messiah would result in them what? Being cut off from the blessing. You know, this is actually just a different way of saying what Jesus had said to them at different points. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. There is no other way to the Father. There's no other way to receive God's blessings. All other ways are dead-end streets. Peter shares the good news in this moment. But he, in that moment, also acknowledges the bad news for those who do not put their faith in Jesus Christ. Both truths sometimes need to be shared when we are helping others to come to Jesus Christ. Not always, but sometimes they need to be spoken. At the very least, we must understand that Jesus is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from our sins. Jesus Christ is the only way to receive the gift of eternal life. The list goes on. Jesus Christ is the only way to receive the blessings that God has promised. Do you believe this? Jesus Christ is the only way to have life after death and not go to hell. Jesus himself said, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows." There's lots that could be said here, but the point that we're reflecting on has come from Peter's point that if you don't listen to Jesus Christ, you will be cut off. There is no other way. The consequences of not putting your faith in Jesus is to be cut off from the blessings of God that have been made available. We must understand this truth. And sometimes when the Spirit leads us, we must share this truth. But at the very least, we must understand it because it provides a great motivation for when we need to be bold and have conversations and talk with people as God brings people into our life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It is a motivator when you truly believe that. It changes how you view everything. You want people to get to know Jesus and you want to share the good news. You want to scatter seeds. You know that some will land on hard ground and some will have thorns. But we still have a responsibility to scatter those seeds. Sometimes both truths need to be talked about, just like Peter did in this case. Not always. Sometimes we need to be silent on some things. There is wisdom in not actually speaking about every aspect. We trust the leading of the Lord when we find ourselves in those situations. So let's bring this to a close as we get to the end of this chapter. So Jesus prepares us before he empowers us, and that is something that we should take great confidence in. And we can see that with Peter and John. They haven't just been thrown into this situation without preparation. They've been clearly prepared. The way they are operating, the way they are going about things, God had prepared them. He will do the same for us. So that when the work begins, we find ourselves in situations where he will have made us ready for that. And when Jesus moves in power through our steps of obedience, we must always remember what? To give credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is crucial, that as he starts to use you in whatever way, whether that's in public or in the background, that we, like Peter, acknowledge that Jesus did this. And we must continue to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in each situation. Each person is different. Each situation is different. God knows. He will guide us so that we say and do the things that are going to be a blessing and are going to help others come to know him. We need to be willing to share the bad news when that is right, to actually have a personal conviction about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, about what this means, so that when it needs to be talked about, we can. Yet always knowing the simplicity that sharing about Jesus Christ is, how do you get to know him? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. You will be saved. Repent, turn from your sins. He will forgive you. The good news is actually really simple at the core of it. So we carry that simplicity with us, ready to talk and engage. So here's some more reflective questions as we come to a close. What is Jesus doing in your life at the moment? Can you feel the wind of the Spirit starting to mobilize you? Which way is the wind blowing? You know, when the wind blows, you can kind of go, whoa, it's going that way. Lick your finger. Okay. Which way is the Lord wanting to move you at the moment? Can you see others converging with you? You know, sometimes as you're walking and across like a, a field and you start to see a crowd and you start to see convergence of people. Can you see others converging with you? Can you see those that God wants you to partner with at this time? Is this making sense? Who's God putting there for you to journey with in this season? And just a closing scripture here. Silence is sometimes the right thing to do. It really is. Like, I'm not in the place where we should. We always boldly and bluntly declare these things without sensitivity. There's a wisdom sometimes in being silent and actually waiting for the right time. God knows what's going on in people's lives. But sometimes we actually need to cross that threshold and start sharing. Is this scripture for you today? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Does that make sense? Sometimes there's a time to speak up, to speak out about what God has put in your heart. And that may not be for everybody, but is that for you? Is it a time to start crossing that threshold and boldly sharing in places that maybe you haven't before? I'm going to invite the worship team up. Let's just personally and quietly just reflect, and then I'll close in prayer. It's a time of just quiet seeking the Lord for what he has for you, for us in this season.